Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. And today I have Chris with me again. I have Don here. We're going to be talking about Daredevil Born Again, Episode 4, Six Simper Systems Review. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about some Daredevil Born Again. And hey, guys, welcome back.
How are we doing? How are we doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Yeah.
I think Chris might have froze. I'm not sure. Looks okay. Oh. He's so excited that he just was in total shock over this episode.
Just has no words. No words. I get it.
No words can express how much we love this. Oh, it's okay. He'll be back in a minute. He'll pop back in a second.
That's fine.
But yeah, before I get into the episode, guys, I want to go in and talk about our sponsor from the WWE store. Mm-hmm. So this is what I have to say about that is going ahead, use our promo code that we have going on over here. And it's WWE29. And this is what I have to say about it. In a world where heroes rise, villains fall.
What's that promo code again?
WWE29.
I don't care what the promo code is.
It doesn't matter what you think, Don.
That's what it doesn't matter. Yeah, sorry.
Did you miss me?
All right. There we go. We were just talking about how much of a standstill you are for this episode. It left you in total shock that you didn't really have anything to say other than it just left you shook.
Had nothing. It was okay, you know. Just Punisher.
But before I, like I said, before we dive into this, if we're going to talk about the WWE 29, this is actually the promo code that we're going to be using here tonight. So, in a world where heroes rise, villains fall, and legends are made inside the squared circle, one thing is certain, every warrior needs the right gear, and that's where the WWE store comes in. Whether you're stepping into the ring or just showing off your love for the sport, WWE Shop has everything you need. From championship titles, replicas, and exclusive superstar merch. But don't wait until the lights go out and justice is served act now. Head over to WWEshop.com and gear up like a true champion. And because heroes like you deserve something special, use promo code WWE29 or your custom, or you can go ahead for an exclusive discount. Justice may be blind, but style never is. Suit up, set up, and always stay undefeated with WWE.
Yeah.
So. All right, I got to get you to start doing my commercials. Maybe you want to do one of my audiobooks?
Sure thing. I wouldn't mind doing it. I will have a lot of fun with that.
You might make my work sound good.
All right, sounds great. So let's talk about this episode, guys. Like, I was not expecting them to show us Muse coming out of the gate for the very beginning of this episode, which is also going to be our main baddie for the season. which is something that really I'm excited about. Yeah, we have Fisk, but there's always someone else lurking in the shadows that we never know what we're going to get. But I also like how it also opens up to the fact that, you know, White Tiger is now dead. You have the niece that comes in to the picture. And
oh, that was harsh.
That was heartbreaking.
That was harsh. It was hey, so real quick, I had no idea who that character was. Like, even at the end of the episode, I'm like, who the hell was that? So Muse, is that, I don't think I've ever seen that.
I didn't know who that was either. Yeah,
I wasn't Muse sure is a serial was. Killer.
Mm. Oh. Well, that should be interesting.
Yeah. He's actually a serial killer with superhuman strength is based off of what I found out about him. Nice. So. He's like
he reminded me of the Ryan Reynolds the first time he played Deadpool in Wolverine Origins.
Oh right? Yeah, where just the mouth is shut closed.
Exactly. Yeah. It looked just like him. I'm like, what
it
the
did,
hell?
It did have some resemblance.
Ryan
to that
Reynolds?
Definitely did. It reminded me of the first Deadpool when he's going through all the different suits and he picks the white one first. That's what I thought about. I was like, oh my God.
But yeah, I definitely
didn't know who that was. So that's cool.
But yeah, that's actually Muse. And, he's got some superhuman strength, I believe, and things like that. So he's going to be the new baddie. But I really did. I really felt emotional at the start of this, especially when you had the niece come in, which is, you know, White Tiger's niece, and she's hugging Matt. She's mad at first, but then she's also just going through the grieving stages of losing her uncle. So it's totally understandable about how she feels, that mixed bag of emotion, and stuff. So I definitely like the fact that all the stuff that happened in the hospital, and it just made me want to cry my eyes out because I miss
the
White Tiger already.
Yeah. No, it's a super.
You know that actor died? Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
I heard that actually after the episode. Yeah. I heard that over the week.
Apparently he was really sick. I had no idea. But now I went back and rewatched the episode. It's like, oh man, I thought that was makeup, but I wonder if he was just really sick, you know?
Cause I saw them do the, you know, in memory of in the beginning of the episode, but I didn't know his name. So I didn't. Until I saw that he died.
Yeah. That's too bad. I really liked him as an actor. Now
I do. I wanted to see more of it. And then I'm like,
he was really sick, like, during the shooting of this, like, it was really hard for him to get through it, but man, what a performance.
So going back to the girl here, you know what I'm finding interesting is, I mean, Charlie Cox is really getting a chance to show off Matt Murdock and show off his acting chops. And, you know, there's been a lot of complaints online that there's just not enough action. Look at this. What's going on up here? I don't know. That there's just not enough action. I'm wondering how you guys feel. I'm happy with where we are. First of all, I love lawyer dramas anyway, right? Like, they could just show Matt Murdock most of the time and I'm happy with that, right? But, what do you guys think about that? Apparently there's a lot of people who are kind of dogging it, online because of that. They're just like, it's too watered down. It's Disney-fied. There's
what
not
do you
a fair
that
devil.
At all. I don't feel that at all. I think it's, I mean, the other one wasn't every episode had action. There were episodes where he was, you know, doing whatever he was doing. So I don't feel that at all. I think this was a great, like almost palate cleanser for the last couple episodes that were so action packed and were so like, you know, overly intense and the drama of it. So I mean, not that this one didn't have that, but. Yeah, it was sort of like, okay, we're going to calm down here for a minute, kind of regroup, see where he's at, and then we're going to get back into the story kind of thing, which felt good. I mean, I thought it went well.
I think it makes a lot of those scenes stronger, right? Like I'm especially thinking of that scene with the two cops where he finally has to, you know, he's like, you don't want to do that. We all know what he means, but the cops don't. And then it's just that scene is so powerful. And at the end, he screams and it's just, I think the balance they put in, I think really emphasizes the action that goes on, you know, and this whole fight in Matt now, which really has been there the whole time, right? Like even in Daredevil in the comics, I mean, he's always on two sides of the fence.
He is. And that's something I wanted to bring up was the fact that, you know, I definitely didn't feel like it was a slow, this is slow down or anything like that. Because even like Don said, even in the original series and stuff, you know, it was a slow burn kind of show. It was not all action. It was more dialogue than anything, but within the dialogue itself, you actually needed to actually set up other things to establish other stuff that's going on within the show itself. So I thought the dialogue is flowing really good. I don't think it's watered down. I think it's everything that we wanted as far as a Daredevil TV series go. Because of the fact that it's bloody, it's gritty.
Sorry, Jar.
No, it's okay. But I just feel like it's bloody, it's gritty. I feel like that it's everything that we wanted whenever Disney Plus promised us something gritty and bloody. They didn't go against that. So I'm actually happy with that. But I'm also in agreement with Chris on the fact that, you know, it gives a chance for Charlie Cox to be able to show what he can do as an actor and showing the emotional levels of things of a lawyer that's trying to help someone that might be innocent prove their innocence and try to, and also to make you feel like, okay, he's like up against the ropes. What can he do to get himself out of it? So I like this law and order kind of vibe within the Marvel universe itself. And yes, we do. Here's the thing. He's also struggling with his own self-identity right now because he doesn't know if he should go back to being Daredevil or being Matt. And it's like pulling on.
Oh, he knows what he wants to do. He knows what he wants.
Well, I think he doesn't want to do it because of Foggy, right? I think he feels like he's got that. They always went up against each other about that, right? And so I think he's trying to honor Foggy's memory, and I don't think it's not going to last much longer.
It's not. It can't.
It's not.
But because I do remember the first, just getting back to the, how people are saying this is slowed down. I mean, John, you just rewatched the first three seasons. I remember thinking, man, this show is really good because it builds up to these amazing action scenes that we get, but the action scenes fit the story too. It's not just there for no reason.
Exactly.
There was purpose to why he was losing his mind in those fight scenes. Yeah. And they drug out for so long, and he was by the end. They were like the first fight with Bullseye in this one, where they're literally crawling towards each other, basically. You know,
right?
So I don't know. I just feel like people haven't. I think those people just haven't rewatched the first couple seasons.
No, they haven't rewatched it.
And I think there are a lot of haters for Disney.
The violence wasn't over the top. Well, the violence was over the top, but it wasn't a lot of it. It was. Where it fit in the story.
It was necessary for the characters to be able to make them grow and not make them feel stagnant.
They're doing that again with this season so far, at least, is it feels like that again, where the action makes sense to the story. It's not just, oh, Kingpin and Daredevil need to fight because they talk to each other. Like, no, we don't need that. We want the big buildup for that.
Now, you know what I like about this? Well, and to me, this really puts it in the same spot as the last show is, if you remember, John, you just watched it. First season, Daredevil doesn't even get the suit until the very last.
No, not until the very end. He's basically
here. We are again, right? And we're kind of doing the same thing. Me, I'm relieved. It took so long for this show to come out, and I heard there were reshoots, and some of them may have been because the guy who played White Tiger. What I don't know. Maybe they had something different.
Well, what the deal was this? They were like I said in the third episode when we were on here. They were trying to make it like She-Hulk, where basically it was comic-y and stuff like that. So
they must have did a lot of reshoots because I don't see any sign of that. They there are jokes here and there, but it's not like
They changed the tone. They changed everything about it. Even when John Bernthal was complaining about who the Punisher is, he's like, "I'm not doing a watered down copy of the Punisher. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in. If I'm going to do this."
I'll be honest. I could not be more pleased with the way this season, or just the way this new show, turned out. You know,
I agree.
It reminds me a lot of, and I know I always talk Doctor Who, right? But one of the brilliant things they did about Doctor Who was when it was off the air for so long, it came back on and they basically continued it. Even though it really was a reboot, they kind of continued it from the same doctor count. And I think that's the brilliance of this show. It feels just like season four, right? I mean, even for the short time, bringing Foggy back, bringing, what's her name back, and then getting a lot of these characters.
Bringing Karen back.
And a lot of these, it just feels like the same universe, you know? And so, sure. I really,
it feels more cohesive now. It doesn't feel like, is this part of the MCU? Is it not part of the MCU?
Yeah.
Now it actually feels cohesive to the point now where we don't have to do it, because this is actually the first time where they mention Skrulls in the Daredevil universe.
That was ridiculous. But what about the speech that guy gave, man? It was good. Like, I'm there the whole time going, oh my God, but you did it. You stole the fiddle faddle, right? I mean, you did it, and you're giving him so much shit. He got you 10 to, and then he gives that speech, and I felt ashamed, right?
Me too, because at first I'm on Matt's side. I'm like, come on, dude, this is the best thing that he can do for you. Why are you complaining? Yeah. Why are you bitching?
Right.
Then all of a sudden he shuts me up. I'm listening to him. He goes, I'm the one who's out on these streets. I'm the one who can't afford anything. I stole it because they were fucking good. That's why I stole it.
I wanted dessert for once, right? And,
And
the wine that – go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No. It was just a great moment with him.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he nailed it.
The best line that he delivers is that, you know, they're willing to pay 10 times as much to put me in jail than it cost for that fiddle faddle, right? Than it cost for me to have dessert. Basically, and it just, man, it shut me right up.
That are also,
I felt so ashamed, right?
Right, and then the two cops that are over there busting his balls and eating it. So they're actually an accessory to his crime.
Yeah.
No, it was, that actor was really good in that moment, too.
Yeah,
he really nailed that moment for him. So I like
I was really pissed off at first. I'm like, why are you busting Matt's balls like that? And then, once he breaks it down to you about
where he's come from. I kind of respected him for it, but I did, I was kind of like, all right, dude, but you realize you are, because once he starts saying, you know, you have a rap sheet, dude, like you've been, you know, doing this for a long time.
I love how he says, why do you have to always bring the rap sheet up?
Why is everyone always bringing that up? No, it was a really powerful scene. There was actually a lot of drama in this, right? The little girl, White Tiger's niece, I think it was. I don't know, but
they're setting that up, right?
Her and then.
Do you guys think they're setting her up?
I think so.
No, you think so? I don't know. I don't know. I think her whole purpose was to bring Daredevil back out, right? I mean, she says straight out, there's nobody protecting us. You know, there's nobody here to change anything. There's nobody. And I think that speech, I think her main purpose was to really kind of convince Matt or give him one more reason why he has to come back out as Daredevil. I wouldn't be surprised if we really don't see her again, maybe once or twice for a minute, but I don't
think here's the thing. Right now, she's too young to be that superhero, that hero right now, because she was an agent when she winds up with the amulet, and that's also what gives her power to be able to do what she does. So it's a little too soon, but it could establish for something later on in the future if there's like a time jump or something. They want to actually make the characters a little bit older.
Yeah.
But that's like
holy
the only
shit. I don't know about this either, dude. I feel like I haven't done my homework. So is she? I guess she becomes another superhero.
Yeah, she actually. She does. Angela.
I don't
Del
even know
Toro.
Why you keep inviting me on this show.
Because I'm educating you. I like having you on.
You like shut me up. Nobody likes to do that. That doesn't happen often.
But it's all good. I'm a huge nerd when it comes down to this stuff, and I love geeking out with you about Daredevil. That's why I love having you on.
Yeah.
But even
I didn't. I didn't know. I knew very little about White Tiger.
Yeah.
I do too. So I ended up doing like a deep study on it afterwards. Yeah. But yeah,
I gotta look this up, obviously.
Well, good thing there's no trivia. But let's talk about Fisk and Vanessa's relationship inside the psychiatry office. Once again, we're dealing with the fact that Fisk left Vanessa. Vanessa's in charge of the mob and left her in charge of the business.
Him. Right now we find out she cheated on him, and I think they kind of alluded to it. But
yeah, to Adam,
like the incident or something. They didn't really.
No, I actually have it. They had a dialogue, is what Fisk calls it. They had a dialogue.
Right. Right. So, yeah, so that bit was interesting, you know, especially at the end, obvious, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. But, if there's a weakness in the show, it's Vanessa's character so far.
It still is. Yeah.
She drags it down, right? When it comes to her, not her fault. She's a good actress. She was great in the first
series. This is what she's gotten. Basically.
Which she's gotten in the script, right? And it just, when she comes on, and even these scenes, it slows the show down, right, to me. I just think she's just not super interesting. It'll be interesting to see what I expect eventually she'll figure out what happened, or I know she probably already assumes, right. But I think eventually she'll find out about Adam. And my thinking is the more important character in those scenes is, what's her name? Is it Kathy? I don't know. Daredevil's girlfriend, Matt's girlfriend.
Kirsten. Right?
Kirsten, yeah. I think eventually Fisk kills her. That's what I think is going to
happen. Either he kills her or something winds up happening. That might actually be where Matt winds up snapping.
Maybe.
If he does kill her.
But I feel like that's really what's going to happen is, something's going to happen to her, right? Cause Matt can never be happy, right? All of his girlfriends die or, right? Or get permanently damaged, right? Karen is damaged goods now and, except She-Hulk. She-Hulk made out. Well, no, I guess she didn't because she got filmed and that was bad too. So, you're not safe. You're in trouble if you're fucking Matt Murdock. I think that's
for sure.
I'll give it a shot just to test that theory, but, I think they're in trouble.
But I do agree with you on this though, with the psychiatry stuff. It kind of slows it down. It kind of feels like Tony Soprano and Camilla inside the psychiatry office in season two.
Right.
Where they're going for marriage counseling. And, but with this, I feel like we've already heard this repetitive story again. And Fisk trying to get, Vanessa back. We've seen this, play out in the second episode. Same beat for beat for this. Except for one thing. Now Kirsten thinks that Fisk is abusing her.
Right.
And she goes, no, he's not abusing me or anything.
Right.
And Fisk, I like how Fisk just looks at her like, why is she, she's like, well, now I need to see Vanessa by herself.
Right.
And he's just like, what? Right. So he's kind of taken aback on that, but, you know, and then he's kind of relaxed once he says, I would have thought the same thing, and kind of just shrugs it off later on at dinner with Vanessa. But then you also
don't understand her, like, just not being able to get over it. And I don't mean that in an ignorant way. I just mean it like, it feels like they shoehorn this story in where like her dad left and was always leaving. Like it just felt so shoehorned in that it didn't even feel like it was like a real, you know what I mean? Like it still feels like, okay, but just get over it. Like he got shot in the head. Like what don't you understand
right? about this? But you and left. I left. I got shot in the friggin' face.
Right.
By my daughter, my adopted daughter, right?
Like, how do you recover from that? Like, that's
again,
a lot of
I don't
trauma
mean it from like a psychological, like point of view. Like, if, you know, if somebody really has trauma, I get it, but it just feels so fake and just shoehorned in. It doesn't
feel
real. Well,
also too, with that though, I feel like it kind of humanizes Fisk in a way where we're supposed to care about him because he went through this traumatic experience with his adopted daughter, where we want to care for him because of the fact that, you know, he got shot in the face by his adopted daughter. He showed love for his daughter. But no one else would. And this is the things he gets, in a sense, even though he got everything that came to him at the end
I don't know. I'm still on the chief side. You're still the kingpin. Like, I'm sorry, but you've still
he's
done
not,
a
he's,
lot
not, he's still the kingpin, but I'm just saying how they humanized the goon to that point where.
No, I know what you mean. I know. I like that girl. I like that girl. It was good. So.
Charlie Cox has always been good. And what's his name? Who's the dude who plays, Fisk?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
So to me, if there's one standout, performance, not just in this, but I think it's D'Onofrio, right? Like this guy. So I don't know. I went through an entire, took me the last 2 years and I watched the whole MCU saga, all TV show. And then of course, every time they brought somebody from the Sony universe and I'd have to go back and watch that, right? It took forever to do that. And, so I saw him Hawkeye, right?
Yeah.
That's when he first showed up in the MCU, yeah. And then you see him here, and you say, it just seems like his characterization is getting really, really good. The first season of Daredevil seemed very campy and over the top for him, and it just feels like after all these years, he's really shoehorned it now, and he's a great kingpin, and he is humanized. That's what's crazy, right? Yeah. We all know he's the same guy, and he's going to be killing people, and you know, but you can see with what he's doing with Adam, right? He hasn't changed. He's never going to change. And, but man, he's added so many layers to his character. I just think, what a performance, right? I think he's knocking it out.
I think so too.
I agree. Yeah. No, I agree 100%. He's knocking it out of the park. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Then we also had that other thing too with, James Gandolfini's son, who winds up leaking the information to BB.
Yeah.
And because he was drunk, he ended up having too much to drink. And then whenever he's getting ready to do this whole entire thing about the docs and wanting to do this. And I like how they're like, well, you can't just speak that into existence and just think that you can do that. There's other things. He goes, well, I'm not used to red tape. Right. And it's like, how many politicians do we know that actually tries to speak things in existence and like, hey, look, there's things that you have to do in order to do stuff. You can't just do what you want because you're the governor. There's other people that you have to go through and stuff, other committees to approve stuff. Because, well, you're slowing me down from doing what I need to do for the people because the people put me in this position.
Right. Did you say that's James Gandolfini's son?
Yeah, that's actually him.
No shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I did not, I guess I could see that, but I had no idea. I like his character, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting, I think he's going to be put in a situation he's going to have a choice to make. And I think it would be amazing if he winds up taking down that chick who's kind of like, I'll be here, you know, long after you two are gone. I feel like something's coming for her, right?
I think Fisk is going to kill her.
I think I think it would be better if this new guy, right, winds up doing it.
And is he going to be like the dude from Penguin? Like, is he going to be the kid from Penguin that he like takes under his wing? And
he's like, I wonder, man, that would be cool, right? Because obviously Fisk really respects him, right?
Yeah. Right, because he owned up to the fact that he screwed up in that office. Yeah. He's like, look, I'm sorry. I'll be on your side 110%. I'll vote for you still. I'll root for you from a distance. I'm sorry. And Fisk actually respects him because he owned up to it compared to his other people.
No, it's loyalty.
Loyalty.
Fisk wants loyalty. That's what it boils down to for sure.
Yeah.
Fisk wants to kill him, but then he has a witness. But I also like, I agree with Chris though. I like that idea of James Gandolfini's son taking down Fisk. Well, not taking down Fisk, but taking down the woman for blackmail or something, because he's actually like the next Wesley. You remember Wesley from season 1?
I miss Wesley. God, I love that guy. He's
kind of
like that
Wesley kind of replacement for him. Yeah. So I'm thinking that he's like a replacement of Wesley for Fisk. So I wouldn't be surprised if he blackmails her and she leaves. And then it's just him and Fisk running this whole entire thing. And then once Fisk gets what he wants, either number one, he gets killed, or number two, the kid winds up ratting out everything on Fisk to BB.
Yeah.
Leaking out information. But
I don't know about that.
But that just depends on the loyalty and the stuff that happens later on.
I'm just trying to think, how much does he actually know? Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, he knows who Fisk is. Yes, but he might think that Fisk is on the straight right now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think he does.
Like, I think he might know about his past, but at the moment, I don't know that he knows anything that Fisk is doing right now.
No.
So that's why I'm thinking that he might literally be a fanboy because he thinks he's like gone good kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's my only thing with him is I don't know why he's so loyal to him right now. Is it because he knows who he is and he's like, oh, I'm cool with it? Or is it like, oh, no, okay, this guy's actually trying to change his life around and be legitimate now? You know what I mean? I just don't know where he's coming from yet.
I don't think that – I think he's still the same person. Matter what.
Oh, I think he can be easily.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
Like, yeah, he can be easily corrupted.
Yeah, he's definitely the same person. I think, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I don't want to throw politics and stuff in, but I feel like there's definitely kind of a comparison to Trump, right? Where you've got this guy who was really bad, was in prison, was this and that, and yet he's got these people who will just follow him, right? Like this guy who's a huge fan, and they did interviews in New York, and there were a lot of other people talking that same game. And I'm not saying anything good or bad about Trump at all. I'm just saying I really feel
just the politics of the stuff within business world compared to our
world. I feel like they're trying to draw a comparison to it, right?
Yeah. And
That's what they're doing, I love that they're not being heavy-handed about it, right?
Right.
I think they're leaving it up to interpretations, but I really feel like that's kind of what they're going for there.
Well, even Screen Rant also posted that.
If they are, it does feel like they're coming at that from a neutral standpoint. You know what I mean? Not saying good or
bad. Yeah, that's what I mean by heavy-handed.
But let's talk about this other thing. It's true,
and we don't even have to talk about him, right? I mean, just... We see that all the time where you've got these guys who just very questionable, right? Especially in politics, and they always have their fans, right? Who just look up to them so much. Like this guy, hey, I don't care if you fire me, right? I'm still going to vote for you. I'm going to do this. I believe in you wholeheartedly. And so even if they're not talking about him, there's so much of that in politics, especially these days. I just feel like they're kind of pushing a little bit of that. But like you said, you know, it's not heavy and they're not taking a side. It's just what happens in that politics game, right?
Right.
So it's interesting. It's really interesting the way they did it.
Mm-hmm. I definitely like the whole politics side of Fisk and stuff like that and seeing what he has to learn. Because he won, but now he has to learn the consequences behind every action. There's a retaliation with it. There's people that's not going to like with his decisions. So there's going to be stuff that he does that he has to either slow down on before he speaks out on doing something and listen to his reps as well.
Oh yeah.
So it's going to be interesting on how they play that narrative within the show itself on how they do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's also really interesting that, you know, Fisk, he's not conning people as mayor, right? I don't believe that. Or if he is, he's not meaning to. He's always been, you know, in the last series too, his love for New York is so obvious, right? I mean, he's really on about New York. He loves it. I really think he thinks he's trying to do what he thinks is best for New York, right?
That's why I like him as a villain, because people who think that way, who thinks of them as the hero, is the most dangerous person of all.
Yeah.
And think that they're not doing anything wrong when they are.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So that's what I like about him as a villain, because I like that whole entire aspect of the villain type like that. Yeah. So
he's a complicated villain to me. He reminds me of Thanos, you know, honestly. A guy who, very bad guy, but is doing what he truly believes is right for the universe. And I'll just take a quick second to say, Thanos was right. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
No, so, I think you're 100% right, though. I agree with you. I think he 100% believes he's doing the right thing from his point of view. Yeah.
Right. No. Now, I want to get into this other thing. And, you know, I cannot stand that song, We Built the City. I really
hate that song. Oh, God, that was so funny. I was loving it.
It was funny because it's me as a fifth grade student who has to sing this bullshit on stage because in order to pass fifth grade, I had to sing every single generation of songs through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
No.
And then I have to hear that song. I'm feeling like Fist does. And I'm cracking up because I'm looking at him as myself. I'm like, yeah, I hate this song with a passion. I even hate Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go because I had also seen that shit too.
My favorite part is him being when they're like, "Oh, now the next song." He's like, "Oh no, 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 please!" No, I love that so much.
Oh, like, I love it. Then he cut to the Latvian embassy or whatever it is, and they're singing the same song in Latvia. Oh. Hey, if it makes you feel better, for my sixth grade graduation, my class had to sing the theme song to Laverne and Shirley. And we had to sing it really slow, like it was an important song. So would have preferred Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Well, let me tell you something funny. We actually made our fifth grade music teacher cry because we kept on misbehaving and kept on driving her nuts with it. Like, we would actually lip sync. Sometimes we would get certain words wrong. Because that's it. You're humiliating me. I cannot take it anymore. And she would just bust out just crying. I'm like, she's acting like this is actually a Grammy Award winning performance that we're trying to give her.
Man. That's a win. Still. When you can break your teachers, right?
Yeah.
That's really a win. The only thing better is, like, you know, you get them to quit and go work at Publix, right? Then you're like, I'm the king. No, it's not true. Teachers deserve our respect.
So
not the ones I had.
But let's go ahead and segue into how Matt finds the bullet casing to White Tiger, and then he winds up finding Frank. And at first, I'm thinking that him and Frank are going to go to war together and, you know, take down...
Frank lost his damn mind.
Yeah. He looks like one of those conspiracy theorists that lives in a cave too long. He has, like, the long hair now.
Too long.
He looks good in a beard, man.
Yeah, he does.
That dude looks great in a beard. It was incredible, right? I mean, I love the Punisher so much. I always did love him. You know, even before MCU or any of that shit, he was just
Max Comics were one of my favorite comic book runs.
Oh man. And, there used to be, books my dad used to read. That was where I first read Punisher. I didn't even know he was a comic book. He had, novels, about the Punisher. Oh man, I loved it. I'm like, wow, this guy, you feel so horrible for him, yet he's a horrible person. And, you know,
you want to know books, Chris?
Always killing people.
They were originally going to make Frank a priest in the comics.
No.
And they said he was going to make him a priest, but then they said, never mind, because I don't think Frank could forgive anybody.
Yeah.
So they went up against that.
No, so. I love all the Punisher movies.
Can you imagine giving your confessional to him and then getting killed in that same
body? Hey, shoot your ass and then deliver last rites. No shit. Perfect.
Do a Hail Mary and kill.
But Punisher Warzone, that was like before this series. That to me was just the best of the Punisher movies. It was really good. And
it was good.
And then this came and just knocked it out of the park. And this actor, John Bernthal, I hated him in Walking Dead, right? Because he's so good, right? I mean, he's just an asshole character. And when he came out as Punisher, it's just like, holy shit. Who knew this guy was such a good actor, right? He was so one note in Walking Dead. And he was just, God, he's so powerful, man. His speech. I love my favorite line. I don't think it was here. I think it was in the original series. Everyone is just one bad day away from being me. Right.
Yep, season two of Daredevil.
So fucking true, man. Right. We all have people we want to shoot the fuck out of. Right. Where you're just like, I'm just,
Let's see, Amy Saunders says, I haven't seen much of Marvel stuff, but The Punisher is epic, and Bernthal does him justice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Know. Look, it's one of the craziest things for me because it's hard for me now to see him play these characters because I've listened to his podcast so much and he's such like a nice, chill dude. Like, I didn't super even know chill, he had one. Super funny, yeah. Like really a chill dude. And he plays these insane characters that are just intense. And he's so plays good these at
awful
them.
Characters so good, man. He just so looks like he would be a fucking hard ass. So yeah. I don't think we're going to see Punisher again, right? I suspect this may be just a little bit part. My understanding is their plan is to do a yearly Punisher special.
Yeah, they're doing a Punisher special. Even John Bernthal actually pitched it to Marvel, and Marvel picked it up and said, yes, we'll do it.
He's writing it.
Yeah. Good. That's something that I'm happy about. I'm happy that they're giving the creative room to be able to write something. Now we actually get to see what his writing ability is like.
You know
like.
What, though? But that's what happens. You get somebody that knows these characters, that grew up with these characters, that loved these characters as kids, and he just happens to connect to Punisher for some reason, and you let him write it as the Punisher. I mean, yeah, this makes total sense. They should do this more often with some of these characters. Yeah, they really should.
He's so, so good.
But I like that whole entire thing with Matt and everything, too. Because Matt is still trying to find that struggle of trying to mourn over Foggy. He goes, you're hearing him, don't you, Matt?
Right.
You still hear him. You have that tugging in your head of the Daredevil. You have that tugging of in your head of Foggy, don't you? And he's about to burst out just, you know, crying and emotional. Yeah. That's just an emotional scene altogether.
Oh no, that's the best scene in the episode for me.
Yeah. It them was two, hardcore.
Yeah, them two going back and forth, best scene in the whole episode.
Well said.
All right. Exactly. No, he's right the whole time because he's telling him like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you've already made your decision. Like, you know what you're doing. Like, why are you here? Right. You wanted permission. That's exactly what he quit there for.
Oh, that was so great.
Yeah,
right?
It's like he wanted permission from Frank to go back out there again.
Yeah.
But I also like how Frank said this once again, goes, I do the job that needs to be done. You hide around in a Halloween costume.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I make sure that they're dead. You, on the other hand, knocks them down, and I make sure they stay down.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I love when he's calling out Matt for not saying Foggy's name.
Yeah.
And then when Matt
and I don't think
him, he's like, "I'm sorry," and he's like, "For what?" He's like, "You're. This is what you wanted. You're you. You're you."
Yeah. In hindsight, I think even after he called him out about it, I don't think Matt still didn't mention, Foggy's name.
He can't say it.
Such a good scene, you know, and sure, we'd all love to see Punisher doing, you know, punishing people, but, I think it was a really nice little intro to bring him in. Of course, I hope he comes back, but
I think it's just like, this little
I suspect he's not.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's this little note. It's like, hey, look, we have the Punisher. We are going to have him in the back burner, but here's a little taste of him, of what he looks, what he's going through now compared to where we've seen him in like, the other seasons of, the Punisher and also Daredevil. So it's like, you're going to get your cake and eat it too, but it's going to take a little bit more time to actually pull out that whole entire buffet line to let you observe, basically just digest everything that we have going for the Punisher.
Right. He reminds me of in the Punisher series, I don't remember if it was the first or second season where he's working construction at the beginning.
Oh yeah, that's the first season of the Punisher.
That was the first, yeah. He reminds me of, he looks the same as he did then, right? And so, when I saw him, I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's working construction again. And then I had to go and watch that episode again because I just love when he beats the shit out of those
that
guys.
Sledgehammer.
Oh man, he destroys him. It's so good.
Yeah.
But then after that, we actually have Matt and Kirsten. They make love during that night, and he also said this to her. She goes, "I was used to just coming home and not having anybody with me."
Yeah.
And Now she, and she's like, well, how does it now feel to actually have someone home to? He said, it feels great. So they make love. He gets up to the rooftops and then you see him playing with around with the baton that he has, the grapple.
Right. Oh man, that last shot, that was so killer, man.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. And, you know, don't forget, he goes into his hidden room.
Yeah, I love all the masks.
That has all those, Daredevil masks.
But this, I like how it,
I love that he has like a secret cave. I love that he has a secret cave, like a secret room cave. Like
on the top of a building.
I love it. I love it too.
I like that. I like the fact that it's this secret thing that nobody knows about. And of course, you know, when we're by ourselves, that's where we basically become our normal selves, right? So during the daytime, he's Matt Murdock. And he has, and then at that same moment, you have Fisk, who's also not the same person he was during the daytime or anything either. He's now the Kingpin. And it's like every single thing that was hidden in front of people are now being put up in front of
you. I didn't see that.
That's
coming.
Who you be. Right. Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I didn't either because I wasn't expecting to see.
I figured this dude Adam was like there. Somewhere like on an island. Like I didn't think Fisk killed him.
I just figured he killed him, right?
I don't think he would lie to Vanessa. I really don't believe he would lie to her.
He did not lie now. To her. He said he didn't know what happened to her.
And he also said there was a change of dialogue.
Knows, but I don't
there
think
was some
so.
Dialogue.
Right. Well, yeah. Said, no, he absolutely lied
says,
to her.
He says, I'm not that mad anymore. So I never felt like he killed him. I felt like he just was like, look, out. Like, you gotta go. I don't care where. Just not here. You can't ever come here. You can never come back here. Like, that's the other
way.
You
gotta fuck Kingpin's wife and get away with that. I'm like, there's no way he let this guy go.
No way. That's like sleeping with Carmella, Tony Soprano's.
Right.
No, it made sense. It made sense.
Furio.
But I really did think that he let him go just out of love for her. Cause that's the only kryptonite. That's his only kryptonite is her.
I like the fact that you're romantic, but. I just know that he either killed him, but the fact that he's torturing this guy and eating dinner in front of him, like it's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Oh no, it's definitely Hannibal Lecter-esque for sure.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think Matt should just hire the Punisher to go kidnap Vanessa. That's what you do. You want to end all of this? Kidnap Vanessa.
Yeah. It's all over. But, you know, Matt would.
He'll never do that.
I don't even know that would end it, right? I mean, oh my God. Then you got this huge vendetta with the Kingpin, right? Cause he never let it go. He never lets anything go.
But it is a way to get him to show his true colors. That's the thing for Matt is he wants people to know who Kingpin is more than anything. So that would be the way to get him to show who he really is.
Well, in season three, he did that. And that's why people have to say he is actually on Daredevil side in a sense because they don't trust him. And then you have the other city that's like gone ho for him.
That's
so
what I mean.
So it's this division amongst everybody.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah, it'll never happen.
You think we get to see Daredevil next episode? I feel.
Oh yeah. I think we're there now.
I think we are. I think we're going to get a full on thing with him. And then we also have that other thing too with Muse at the very end of it with draining the blood and stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out. When we get off of here, I'm gonna have to go look him up and find out what Muse is all about.
That's weird stuff happening there for sure.
He looks cool. I get that. He looks really cool.
Yeah.
Simple. He reminds me a little bit of Rorschach, right?
Yeah, he kind of does as well. Yeah. But I'll give you a little bit of background on him though, Chris, because I still have some of the notes that I have. But basically, he's a serial killer artist who plans shocking mass murders, abductions, and torture as means of creating his art, converting them into works of street graffiti. He serves as an antagonist to Daredevil, Punisher, and Blindspot.
So he's Jack Nicholson Joker. Got it. Okay. He's an artiste. He's an artiste.
And it's like arsonist. I said artist.
Why not?
Or anarchy.
Yeah, I definitely got
tricky. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I just think, so where, I don't know, how many episodes are there? Is there going to be 10 or 8?
Is it 8? I think it's 8.
eight.
Yeah, eight episodes, great. And I think the last episode is like combined.
Oh, gotcha.
The last two episodes,
so
I think.
We're halfway combined. Through now. Feels yeah. like there's so much open. You're like, how do they finish this in four episodes?
There's a lot of stuff happening for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I know it's already been renewed for yeah. season two.
I'm happy about that.
I can't imagine.
I am too. God, I love it. I want to see Daredevil. I hope he shows up in Secret Wars. Right. Dying to see him in either Doomsday or Secret Wars. You got to bring him in. I want to see Daredevil and Spider-Man together. So fucking bad, man. That would be crazy. So bad, right?
Okay, there's actually going to be nine episodes.
Nine.
So it's nine? Okay.
Yep.
That's not bad then.
So about five. I like that Disney does these short seasons, right? I don't have time to commit to new TV shows. People are always trying to.
I hate 20 episodes.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, man, that don't work for my schedule, right? I'm a busy guy. I got video games to play, man. I don't have time for 20
episodes. I got movies
episodes.
To review. I've got stuff that I got to, other stuff I have to do.
Oh, yeah. You waste your time, but I'm talking about video games.
Hey.
And.
Okay. Anyways, Don, how are you doing?
I play video games.
That's some bullshit, man. That's some bullshit. I didn't know you had the, I didn't know you had the top red button there. Oh, fuck.
Anyways, I'm just
now I gotta be nice to John. God damn it.
Oh, you don't have to be nice to John. No, it's fine.
Really? Okay.
Right.
I can,
he'll be relegated just posting on his Facebook page.
Yeah, people already do that to me already.
That's nothing new to John now.
No. But anyways, all in all, great episode. We all really love this episode. We actually like all four episodes. So there's nothing really negative that I can say about the show. Yeah. The writing is really good.
I think, yeah, other than Vanessa, I think, yeah. Same thing.
And even that, it's not enough to really bring the show down, right? It just, it feels like the pace
slows.
Yeah, but I mean, it's brief, right? I mean, they don't spend but maybe 5 to 10 minutes on her in a show, if even that much. And, so even that is not enough from, I mean, to me, it's one of the best, MCU series they've done so far.
Right? Oh, by far. Yeah. No, easily. Yeah. Easily.
Right. Although I loved Hawkeye, so I don't know if I'm the guy.
I
loved She-Hulk, right? I don't know if I'm the guy to take my opinion for it.
I loved Hawkeye, and I like WandaVision. I think WandaVision was really
I love WandaVision. Fun. That was WandaVision's one of my
brilliant.
Favorite.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was, did you guys catch Agatha all along?
I did. I liked it overall. I didn't think it was a bad show.
I loved it. I love that character. Right.
Yeah. She's great. No, she's great. Yeah. Absolutely.
But anyway, not
sorry.
No, right? You're good.
Underrated show too. Sorry, guys. Miss Marvel. Miss Marvel is underrated.
I'm a huge Miss Marvel fan.
I enjoyed Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
And if you watch the Marvels, which was the worst of all of the movies, but it's worth just seeing Miss Marvel. She carries that film. She's so good in it, right? Like, I hope they did. Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but I heard they're talking about doing a Young Avengers and that she would
They are.
They're doing a Young Avengers.
It's the girl from Hawkeye. It's, her. It's, they have a few of them already. Yeah.
Nice. What's his name? Scar? What is Hulk's son's name?
He's in it. Yes. And T'Challa's son, T'Challa too is in it.
Oh, is that right?
Apparently.
T'Challa 2?
Well, I don't think they're going to do that storyline anymore.
No, but he is named T'Challa also, but he is named T'Challa. And then there's, what's her name, sister, Black Widow's sister is in it.
Oh,
she's in Thunderbolts, but she's also in the Young Avengers, yeah.
Oh, Thunderbolts, man, I can't wait.
This is going to be crazy because we still don't know where White Vision is. So are we going to get the West Coast Avengers?
Thought I read that there was going to be a Vision series.
I want there to be so bad. He's so good. I want there to be another.
That's my wife's favorite character is Vision, right? She hated Civil War, when we got out of Civil War, she was so angry. She was cursing. She's like, everybody in that movie sucks. Right. And then when she saw Vision, she was like, wow, this is, to me, this is a hero is how she felt. Right.
Sure.
So, yeah, she loved Vision.
Man.
Right.
I missed a good MCU.
I did too, but
I can't say I miss it because I overall like where they're going. So I don't really mind as much.
I gotta say, I think, I mean, maybe it's just me. I think for the most part, I have pretty much enjoyed everything in the MCU. Some of it was a little weaker, right? Mm-hmm. Some of it was really strong. I like the multiverse stuff. I know a lot of people don't like that, but I really liked it. Which I think Doomsday, I want to say, ends the multiverse saga.
They're saying it is, really sucks. Yeah.
I'm glad that they're ending it.
I love how they keep pulling in all these characters from,
the multiverse thing. That's just me.
Blade back. Are you kidding me? Bringing Blade back. Oh,
I want Blade in.
You can't bring these characters in without the multiverse. That's the thing.
I say go ahead, do the multiverse one last grand finale and be done with it.
Because the MCU was set up without mutants. It just was. The MCU was set up without the idea of mutants being a possibility. The only way to figure it out is the multiverse. I really think that was the only way to bring in Fox, bringing them in through the multiverse is the best way to do it. And
Well, Deadpool brought them in.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it really without Deadpool and Wolverine, it's definitely.
I mean, technically,
I think it's going to be the year of the mutants. I mean, I think it's going to be huge. Especially after Doomsday. A lot of people are thinking they're going to reboot, the MCU.
They might. They could.
With Doomsday. They could. When they stop.
Well, Ms. Marvel, at the very end of Ms. Marvel, when, I don't remember who says it to her, but somebody says to her something about, there was a mutation in the genes. And they play the da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
The X-Men theme from the animated show.
Oh, that's interesting.
They are bringing the X-Men.
They've hinted towards it before,
but definitely.
Wolverine was definitely the first, official, this is a mutant in the MCU, we'll see.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be cool. Directors there, the brothers, I can't think of
that. Russo brothers.
Yeah, I am for shit right now tonight for some reason. But the Russo brothers have basically said, they said like Endgame, which of course they also directed, they said Endgame was, kind of the end of a story. And that, that Doomsday will be the beginning of a story. And so a lot of people have taken that to mean that, they're planning on doing some sort of reboot.
Yeah, I can see it because Russo just did a good job as finishing something. Now they're starting something versus finishing something. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what they got going on as far as that goes.
Yeah, but look at what they could do with it. Like what they're doing with Robert Downey Jr. You bring back some of these characters that have been in the MCU since the beginning as the bad guys and of their self or of different versions. Right. Man, they could do some really fun stuff fun stuff with the MCU, with the multiverse. I think closing the multiverse really hurts them more than it helps them. I really do.
I love it, right? I really have enjoyed it, but I love those type of stories, right? Where Into the Spider-Verse, one of my favorite superhero movies, right? Just tons of Spider-Man coming in and seeing them all. And even, was it No Way Home, I think, where it had the other two Spider-Man characters brought in all the bad guys. Wow, how cool to see Octavius again, right?
And Defoe as Goblin again, man? Oh,
I was excited so to see all of that, including all the other Spider-Men. And then, of course, Doc Ock. We also got Jamie Foxx's character back.
Right.
Yeah. So I was excited. He was
actually good. He was actually good as an Electro this time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Wizard and, and then having Doctor Strange, who I always loved anyway.
Me too.
Sure. That was just, man, it was great. Really great.
Well, Don, I have a question.
I'm just geeking out about the MCU.
No, no, no. It's fine. It's doing the show. But my other thing, too, is I know that you love doing video games as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have some stuff probably happening on your channel. So what are you and Jason working on?
We are working on D&D stuff, guys, and video games, though, too.
Oh.
Check out Jason on Twitch, Padawan Frito. He is doing a lot of Call of Duty and Marvel Rivals, which we're actually playing Marvel
Rivals. Rivals is fun, man. That's a blast.
I love it. I'm a Rocket Raccoon main, so anytime somebody plays Groot, I get to hop on their back and just shoot from their back. It's awesome.
Nice. I'm Squirrel Girl, baby. Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Squirrel Girl's awesome too. Hell yeah. But yeah, check us out, guys. We are doing some stuff over there on the Gilded Gaming Guys. So check it out.
That's really
sorry,
awesome.
My dog.
No, I just started playing Dungeons and Dragons for the first time, like in the last year.
Hey, matter of fact, Don's actually a huge D&D guy. So.
I love it, man. I love playing D&D.
Amy, who's watching us, she's actually my DM.
Nice.
Very I'm nice. Kicking oh, ass, yeah. Dude. I am. Oh man, we played Wednesday, and oh, I'm so OP.
Just DM'd for the first time the other night on Sunday. It was very nerve wracking, and things did not go the way I expected. They ran into my main villain in the very first like 20 minutes.
Oh my God!
It was not supposed to happen that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chris, what
that was fun.
But as far as your book and everything goes, you want to, I'll let you go ahead and pitch your book to people.
Yeah,
and of course,
you're
going to be on the show for an interview sometime soon.
Absolutely. So, Bigger Than Jesus, right? It's, the fourth book in my Banished Demon series, right? Right now we are in beta reading. I've got 17 people tearing it apart right now. Just readers of, a couple of them read my other books, but then, a lot of them are new people that I found. And so they're going through that, and that's about month long. And then I'm thinking, it'll probably be published no later than June. And, it's huge. I mean, it's so big, right? Like each book, I don't know how many of the, I know Don, you read everything I write, but I don't know.
I pretty much do.
Do you really?
Like all those PDF books that you sent me, I actually read.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Awesome. So you didn't actually pay for anything. That's what I'm hearing.
Hey, I support
anyway,
you. I was going to do my notes to help you promote your book.
You have been so supportive of me. This show has been very supportive of
very
me.
Well.
So I'm certainly not complaining. Yeah, what happened was I wrote Penny Dreadful, right? Which was, children's novel, right? For 13 to 16 year olds. And once I was done with that, I started writing a new Sam book and I was just like, oh my God, I can curse again, right? I can tear people's hearts out, right? I can just be nasty. And I just went so far over the top on this one.
It's like all of a sudden you were just unleashed after being working on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So this will be another book that my nieces can't read. It's big and it's a huge mystery. And, it picks up where the last one left off. And, I think it's going to do really well. I think it's going to do well.
Awesome.
Well, I wish you nothing but success for your book.
Thank you, man. Thanks for always having me on the show. Every time I'm on your show, I sell books.
There you go. Thanks. Let's do it. But yeah, guys, that's it for this segment. Do me a favor. Go on ahead, visit Unfiltered Studios. We actually have the Stupid History Minute over there. We also have the Sleevey G Show. We have Hypno Wellness. We also have Nailed It with St. Joe. We also have Finding Your Way with the Beep. And yeah, go on ahead, follow them. I will try to do I'm probably going to try and do some movie news coming up soon, do like a weekly thing of movie news as well, because I'm going to be moving soon. So I'm going to to rearrange certain things. So I'll do all the Superman rewatch reviews in April and then just focus on just maybe top five movies and stuff like that. And, focusing on that and also on movie news. So nice. Do me a favor.
Moving states?
No, just moving to another part of Mississippi in a different city. It's close to my job. Instead of driving an hour back and forth and commuting back and forth. Jeez, plus our rent's going up.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, do me a favor, guys. Go in and smash that like button. Smash that subscribe button. Show these guys some love as well. I actually have their links in the description below so that way you guys can show them some love. So yeah, boop that like button. Boop that subscribe button. Go ahead and visit Don. Go ahead and buy some books from Chris because reading is always good. And always
it's fundamental. Is my understanding. I don't know.
And Chris
I'm
is
so much better on your show when I'm drinking. I got to stop doing this soda stuff on this show. So much better when I'm drunk.
But, guys, also, too, don't forget, we're also sponsored by the WWE Store. Get yourself some stuff from them. And let me just put that little promo code up before I close out for tonight. So that way you guys can go ahead and get some stuff. It's WWE29. Go ahead and get you some merch today. So always until next time, have a great and safe night, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. And don't forget, I also ended up doing a review for Copland. So that's – I actually did that with Sean Frost. I want to say that's his last name. But I did a show with him. We talked about Copland. We reviewed it. I'm going to be editing that episode out soon and have it out for everybody. So always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.